Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 13, verse 1 to 20. John chapter 13, verse 1 to 20. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Many of us are familiar with our guest speaker, Reverend John Chan, but just in case you don't know him, he used to pastor a church in Mississauga, and he was a missionary in Germany together with his wife Ruth, and now they are serving at the Canadian Baptist Ministry, kind of leading the team for the world. Ruth is the director of Chinese ministry, and John is the director of the world ministry. So we are glad that Reverend John Chan, he can minister the word to us.
Good morning. It's always a privilege to share God's word with you. We have entered into the second week of the Lent season. You know, Lent is a time when, I don't know what your experience of Lent or what you think of Lent. My parents-in-law, my father-in-law especially, he's ill and been taken care of at home. So we have PSWs to come to help. And then one of the PSWs, she's Catholic, I think. And then Ruth had a conversation with her about Lent. And she said, "Well, for this Lent, I'm going to give up all meat and animal oil and anything to do with, you know, meat. So she's going to be vegetarian." I've heard other people say that, you know, for Lent, I'll give up, say, Starbucks coffee, right? Or maybe soft drinks. Some people who really like sweets, maybe you're going to give up chocolate or dessert, things like that. So sometimes, you know, it would seem almost like Lent is a dieting season. which, you know, for me should be the whole year. But I wonder, so what does Lent really mean? Why do Christians celebrate or, you know, go through this passage of Lent? Lent is actually the span of time in the church calendar that starts with Ash Wednesday and goes all the way to Easter. There's 40 days in between. And Lent is generally observed so that Christians can reflect, repent, and pray in a way that we prepare for Good Friday and Easter. So the true meaning of Lent is really for us to use this time well to reflect on our own spiritual lives. What should we learn from our Savior? What does his death mean for us? And what does his resurrection mean for us? It's not necessarily you have to cut off Starbucks or meat or any of these things. And even if you do so, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're observing Lent. But what is important is underneath. What does it mean for me as a Christian? And today the passage I'm taken is the famous passage, I'm sure most of you, if you have been in church long, you know, about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And from this, we want to learn about servanthood. What does it mean to be a servant? We'll go to the first slide. Talking about washing feet, it's kind of a coincidence that, you know, I got my feet washed this year. This was like a month ago, mid-January. In my new role as a director of international partnerships, I get to travel around the world, not on vacations, but to visit our mission field. And so last month, I was in India. And this is one of the mountain areas of India where our missionaries serve with the local Indian church, partnering with them. So I go there, and it's really a poor, backward village. And we're doing some work over there, helping the widows to learn a skill, a trade, to be able to make a living, and also provide some education, tutoring for the local children. So I was expecting to go there and see how our ministry are with the children and the widows. Lo and behold, when I got there, and then these women asked me, please come over here. What's going on? As I sit, and they wanted me to take off my shoes and my socks and start to wash my feet. And it was truly unexpected. And I thought, wow, so, you know, I feel uncomfortable, a little bit awkward, because it's hard when other people are kneeling down to serve you. And I didn't think that my first experience of feet washing would be like that. But it works well into our message today, is to say, wow, if somebody stooping down to wash your feet, what does that mean? Let's go to the next slide. It means that really we have a servant God in front of us. Jesus Christ comes and he serves us. He said, I'm not here to be served, but I'm here to serve. And he does these in three important points. First, he sees that he has compassion for the needy. Why do anyone need to wash their feet? I mean, I hope we all wash feet at home, right? But in Jesus' time, it's much like in India, you walk and most of the time barefoot or in sandals. So in these desert areas or muddy areas, when you go to somebody's home, your feet is necessarily really dirty. And somebody needs to wash it. But Jesus saw that, well, your disciples, all these 12 big men, I mean, their feet are all dirty. Somebody have to wash those. He saw the need. And not only did he recognize the need, but he's willing to do something about it. So he's going to serve them by washing their feet. And not only is he going to serve them and serve their need, but he's willing to take this to the extreme. Because there are many ways of having the disciples' feet washed. And most commonly is have some servants to do it. But no, Jesus stoops himself. He, the master of his disciples, indeed, he's the incarnate God, stoops himself, goes to the very lowest extreme to help wash the feet of his disciples. Of course, we know that washing the feet isn't just washing the feet so that it's clean. There's a second meaning behind it. As we read this passage, when Peter says, you ain't washing my feet. Then Jesus said, well, unless I wash your feet, otherwise you have nothing to do with me. And what does that mean? Well, I'm sure we know that in starting from John 12, we're entering into the very last phase of Jesus' life. He's preparing for the cross, and the washing of feet foreshadows what he's going to do on the cross. Not only washing our dirty feet, but wash all of our sins away. And he meant here, if I don't wash your sins, you have nothing to do with me. You don't have salvation. You're not saved. Jesus, have compassion for us, the needy, because we're sinful human beings. He recognized our sin, and he came down preparing to do something for us. But not only is he preparing to solve our problem of sin, he's going to the very extreme of giving his own life for us. And therefore, at the very beginning of this passage, in verse 1, they have said, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus is preparing to love us to the very end of his life by giving his life for us. This is the kind of God we have in Jesus. He is a servant God. When it says he comes to serve and he suffer for us, he isn't suffering for the sake of suffering. He isn't serving just, you know, giving out a slogan, I'm here to serve you. But what is he doing is actually, he has a specific target group. He knows who he's going to serve. He knows what he needs to do to serve those people. And lastly, he's prepared to give, to sacrifice in order to serve. And so now, we turn to the next slide, this one, yeah. We have a God who is a serving God, but he demands that we be a servant people. We are the people who will serve others. Well, our first question is, well, why should we serve? Why should we wash other people's feet? The scripture says very clearly, first of all, it's a command by Christ. Can we read verse 14, the orange words there, 1, 2, 3? Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Jesus gives a very clear command. I wash your feet? Now, you have to go wash one another's feet. Not only that, but Jesus has set the example. Continue, let's read verse 15 and 16. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Just in case we are one of those, you know, we don't like authoritative figures, don't tell me what to do, because, you know, if you tell me what to do, I'm just going to do the opposite. Just in case his disciples were like that, Jesus, after giving the command, continues to say, well, you know, I've set you an example, right? So I've done what I've told you to do, and now you do it. Having answered why should we serve? And I think most of us, if we reflect enough of what Jesus had done for us already, we, being Christians who love our Lord, we are willing to heed his command and follow his example and to serve others. But how do we serve? Who do we serve? On the next slide, please. How do we serve? There are two things that we can learn from Jesus washing our feet. One, it has to be an incarnational servanthood. Jesus, in order to serve us, he came down from heaven to this earth to become a human being. He lived with us for 33 years. When we say compassion, the word in its original meaning takes two parts, right? Come and passion. Passion, not necessarily what we meant by passion these days. Passion is the word for suffering, to suffer. Come is together. So you suffer with other people. That's the meaning of compassion. When we say we have compassion on other people, it doesn't mean we're just going to drop coins into, you know, those who need money into their pan. Jesus didn't just save us from heaven and say, ha, done. No, he came down and became one of us. He suffered with us. How far are we willing to go in terms of serving others? Now, when I was in India, they took me to different places. And in one of the journeys, let's go to the next slide, we're going off the main road and into this little path, and you can see there's just bushes on both sides. And then there's this muddy road in the middle. And we keep going in this muddy road and keep going, and the next slide, keep going, and we see these huts, and then keep going. And then finally we arrive. Beside this hut, there's this space, empty space there, that a lot of us there. And I took a panoramic photo where we stood. And as you can see, this is textbook definition for middle of nowhere. There's nothing there. Okay, so as we go into these bushes, there's one row and there are these huts, one little village there, and then there's nothing else there. So oh, why are you taking me to the middle of nowhere? Well, this is where we have one of the ministries. The next slide. And again, we have these tutoring for children ministry. We also have a ministry for women to help them to learn a livelihood. We also have help them to plant kitchen gardens. We give them little chicks so that they can grow chicken and breed their own chicken. And that little big space where there's nothing, we were going to make a water reservoir for them so that they will have clean, fresh water. And also, it will act as a pond where they can do some fishery there, put some fish in there. So all of these things we're going to do there. And then we sat down underneath this tree with the village elders and start conversation. And so there are CBM representatives, myself, CBM missionaries, and also our partner, which is a church from the city of Hyderabad. And they are the ones who started this ministry with this village, and we're partnering with them. So we start talking, when did this ministry start? They say, about 8 years ago. And then 5 years ago, we really started to do all these things, but we made contact 8 years ago. And here's how they made contact. So the pastor of this church from Hyderabad, Faith Baptist Church, he always have a heart for really indigenous local people. Like in India, they're not, we just think, they're all Indians, right? No, there are many different tribal people. Okay, so there are these tribal people there, and he wants to meet them. So he's traveling down the highway, and he sees that maybe inside these bushes, in this forest, it seems to be a village, but there are no roads, so you don't know. So at that time, that road that muddy road that we drove in, it doesn't exist. That road has only been there for 2 years. So then, next time he goes, he takes some brothers from his church, and five or six of them go, and they just stop in the side of the highway and start to walk inside the bush. And they walk for a couple of hours, because it's like at least 2 miles, if not more, to those huts. And after walking in the mud without a road, they met these people who are in this village. And initially, the villagers are really scared of them. And we said, why? Because, they are living in the middle of nowhere for a reason. Because in India, it's caste system, right? You have the royal caste, and then you have those who are professionals or those who are working in the government, and then you have normal, and then you have lower caste. But if you are one of the tribals, you're basically below the lower caste. You're untouchables. People don't want to have anything to do with them, and they're being discriminated against. So many, many, many years ago, this village, their ancestors, they're being discriminated, they're being persecuted, so they ran away from all those people and hide in this middle of nowhere. And then years and years pass, these are their next generation and third generation. They haven't seen outside people. And all their parents told them was outside people are scary. They have to hide because they've been persecuted. So you can imagine when there are outside people coming, their initial reaction is really fear. But praise the Lord, these outside people are not here to persecute them, but to help them. So this church, the members of this church, Faith Baptist Church, began to build relational bridges to visit them constantly and to speak with them, to learn about their needs and start, what we have said, right? Growing kitchen gardens, having chicken, help their kids get education, help the ladies to find a way to make a living. Now thinking about having a water reservoir all these past years. One by one, they're doing these projects. We're doing it together with them. And they're doing what Jesus is doing, right? When we say washing feet, sure, it's great. Sometimes in fellowships, we would reenact this, right? Just get buckets and everybody wash feet. And you feel, wow, you know, when your foot being washed, you feel, wow, if Jesus is washing me, I feel so good. And when you're washing others' feet, you feel that now I'm imitating Jesus washing others' feet. Well, that's great, and we should do that. But we should do a bit more than that, right? Just reenacting that doesn't mean that we have heeded Jesus' commands. Our questions would be, what are the needs of the people around us? Do we go find out? And are we prepared to do something about their needs once we found them? This church, Faith Baptist Church, they're living incarnationally. They go out and find the needy people. They establish relationship with them. They know what they need, and they start little by little to help them. And what's more, they go to really far lengths to do that. Next slide, please. This is a Google map, right? So we say, well, where is this village? Well, you see where the end destination, that dot, that's where that village is. Well, where is Faith Baptist Church? It's in a city called Hyderabad, you know, Silicon Valley in India. How far is this? I did a Google map. Oh, it's a 6.5-hour drive. 6.5-hour drive. How do you find these people? How far do we drive from this point, 6.5 hours? And we got to Montreal by now, right? If you go north, you go to Sudbury or Thunder Bay or something, okay? So that's far. And then ask him, you know, I mean, you have this ministry. You seem to be doing a lot. How often do you come here? And they shocked me. They said, well, almost every Sunday after Sunday service, we just go there. I'm involved in missions, and I've been a pastor of a church before, and we do a lot of things in the community, but what, are you kidding me? Every Sunday after Sunday service, the load of us get on a few SUVs and we drive 6.5 hours to this middle of nowhere to serve them every week? I mean, isn't it every week after service we go find the nearest Chinese restaurant and yum cha, right? I mean, you know, when I was watching the clock, it's time to go, yum cha. But they drove every week to go. But if they don't do that, how would they be able to alleviate the fears of those people? Like, if they go only once a year, what does that mean? How would they be able to do all this work? It's not just a yearly, annual, short-term mission. They do it every week. And in so doing, not only are they providing material goods for those people, they let them know, we care, we're here, right? It's incarnation in the way that Jesus would do. So it is a challenge for us. What are we willing to do? What are the needs that we see around us? How far are we willing to go? Not only distance, but in terms of sacrificing ourselves to help others. Next slide. So not only do we need to have incarnational servanthood, but the next slide, this is where I'm getting at this. It has to be a life-giving kind of servanthood. Life-giving is as in Jesus Christ, our Lord, he used his life to save us and wash away our sin. This is how far he's willing to go. Just keep it the last one. This is how far he's willing to go. And in so doing, he has given us life, life eternal. Right? So how far are we willing to go? And my challenge is, you know, Lent, giving up Starbucks coffee, not only is it not necessary, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It isn't just about giving a little bit of here and there and making us feel like, oh yeah, we did that. Right? It isn't just about washing our fellowship members' feet and saying, oh yeah, we did that. Yeah, all the Christians have a bucket list, right? These are the things we have done. So somehow we are Christians because we have done those things. There isn't a formula. There isn't a list where you can compare that. But it's more of an attitude. What are we willing to do? How far are we willing to go to sacrifice in order to serve someone else and give life to them? So I didn't know this, even though I've been a CBM missionary for many years, but now I'm learning more about our history, and I'm becoming, you know, really proud to be a CBMer and say, what had Canadian Baptist missionaries done before? You know, the first Canadian Baptist missionaries landed in India in 1867. Oh, that year sounds familiar. It's the same time that we became a country. But at that time, they were going with American Baptists because we don't have our own mission agency. But by 1874, two Canadian Baptist missionary couples, the McLaurins and the Timpanese, they hear the call of not Macedonia, but India. You know, there's an Indian young man named Thomas Gabriel. He became a Christian, and he's investing his life savings in order to start a church. But he has no theological education. He has passion. He invests in money, but he has nothing else. And he heard that there are these foreigner missionaries in the area. And so he went and knocked on their doors and gave them the Macedonia call from India to say, why don't you come and help us? And so Reverend Timpany and Reverend McLaurin, they started to break away from the Americans and say, you guys are doing this great, but there are other areas where there are no missionaries, so we Canadians will go and help them. And they go to a town called Kakinada, and they started to preach the gospel there. Not only there at that, but they spent all of their lives there. And in Kakinada, in the seminary, Baptist seminary, where we have founded that seminary, I go there, there is a cemetery for all our missionaries and their families. And this one right here, that's Reverend Timpany's grave. Not only did he serve there, but he died there. Not only that, but what is really moving is there are some small graves. They're for infants, children. Because the medical condition in India now isn't as great as Canada, but think about 150 years ago, it's even worse. So the missionaries go there, they literally invested their lives and even the lives of their families into this ministry. And over the years, we have many, many missionaries there. Next. Next. So these are the mountains, you know, where I have the feet wash. This is the mountain area in Odisha. We're serving a people called the Sauras there. They're all village people. And then just in this one people group, okay, we have dozens and dozens of missionaries who have served there before. Next slide. So they have a plaque in their office. Now the Sauras, they have their own Baptist convention. Hey? So in the convention office, they have a list of names. These are CBM missionaries who have been there, many, many of them. Next slide. And our missionaries help to translate the Bible into their local language. There's a Saura Bible. And next slide. And we have helped to not only plant churches, but really train many, many leaders. Just in the last 3 years, 2015 to 2017, we have provided theological education to 1,000 lay leaders for the Saura Baptist Association. Next slide. And now, I'm glad to say, in the Saura Baptist Association, there are 952 churches. Do you know how many Canadian Baptist churches are in Canada now? Unofficial count is 940. So they have more churches in this one people group in India than all of Canada. Well, of course, there are more people in India, right? But still, just think about the amount of fruit that we have bore throughout these 140-some years in there. But none of that would not be possible if our missionaries wasn't willing to lay down their lives and sacrifice themselves for it. Their ministry is an imitation of Jesus, where they give their lives in order to gain lives. And now, this coming week, the Saura Association have their annual meeting. They're going to have they have a big open area. People come there and build tents and cook and live there. We say, how many people come to your annual meetings? He said, this year, not so much. How many? 70,000. 70,000? What is this, a big like Super Bowl type party? So yeah, sometimes it's 120,000. This is the record. That many people. And when you see that, you see, this is what Jesus meant. You gotta wash people's feet. It's not just in the confines of our fellowship room, washing feet. We gotta be able to see the need. Go out and do something about it. Even taking it to the extreme of sacrificing ourselves. But in the end, there is a blessing attached to it. Next slide. Jesus commanded us to do it. He gives himself as an example, but he also says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do them. Every command of God is also a promise and blessing from God. God isn't this meanie guy, just you go do this and do that and do that. And a lot of people don't want to be Christians because it's like, okay, we're limited. We can't do this, we can't do that. There's all the things that God says. But behind every command, there is a promise. And here it is, same passage. If you know these things and do it, you will be blessed. What a blessing. Next slide. I never thought I would have my feet washed in India, right? I thought I was there to go serve them. But indeed, it is them who have served me. I gained more. I learned more. I became more inspired going there than what they could have gained from us. And this is so. It's a blessing for us to be part of God's ministry, being servants to those needy people around the world. So what are we going to do? That's the question, lastly. The question that Peter asked Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? It is a question that all the needy around the world are asking us. They're asking us as a church, what are you prepared to do? Are you going to come and wash my feet? Well, Brampton Chinese Baptist Church, are we going to do something like the Faith Baptist Church in Hyderabad? Something a little bit crazy? I don't think that it's measured in distance. You don't have to drive 6.5 hours somewhere to have this ministry, but it is that willingness to be servants. That's the key. What can we do in Brampton? What can we do in GTA? What can we do around? Are we willing to do it together? That's a challenge to the church. But as individuals as well, what are we willing to do? As we prepare our hearts in Lent, I hope if we don't learn anything else, we learn that it isn't about just giving little things and making ourselves feel happy. It is about willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others. Who are the needy that we see? How far are we willing to go to do something for them? I'm sure we are all, you know, nowadays, if you're like my age, you're saving up to go to a cruise somewhere. That's your annual vacation. If you're younger, you're finishing high school, you might be like saving up to do backpacking in Europe or something like that. Anything. How many of us are saving up for the next short-term mission trip? Anywhere. Why wouldn't we? Why couldn't we? Mormons send their young people 2 years, right, to go be missionaries. Aren't we, you know, always say Mormons, they got it wrong. Well, they didn't get everything wrong. Right? Jehovah's Witness, they always go knock on doors. In Germany, every Chinese student, every foreign student had their doors knocked by Jehovah's Witness at least one time, yeah, multiple times. How many times have their doors been knocked by Christians? Not that many, unfortunately. So a lot of people are doing a lot of things around. What about us? What are we willing to do? People are asking, are you going to wash my feet? What's your answer? Well, let's end by reading together the prayer of St. Francis, and may this also be our prayer. Let's read together. Lord, may it be an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Thank you. things back on. Okay, the song is called Speak, O Lord, and it talks about allowing God to work in us, to speak in us, and to for us to follow His will. So as we sing, I hope that this is what we were thinking about.